Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, we all know the tale of Jonah and the whale, the man who ran from God's command. Sure, others balked and angels walked, but Jonah went abroad upon the sea to flee the God that he could not see, who hurled a mighty storm, did he, and every man in fear he be. A prayer to every God was called, and every item to see was hauled. And someone shouted above the storm, "There's one more guy, he's still in bed." The captain rose, 'twas his command, and went and found, to his alarm, the storm that shook the sailor's dread had rocked poor Jonah upon his bed. Then deja vu, he thought he heard the one, the very same word, the haunt, the echo of God's command, the very one he could not stand. "Arise and call," the captain said, but Jonah, he preferred his bed. How could he call the God he fled? 'Twas grace, the thing that he did dread. We all know the tale of Jonah and the whale. And tonight, I want us to stand with the sailors on the deck and ask the question, who is responsible? I think that's the question that's really here in verses 7 to 10. Who is responsible? Who is to blame? Who is the culprit here, the guilty party? As it's put in both verse 7 and in verse 8, on whose account has this evil come upon us? Can you see those words there? Verse 7 and 8. On whose account has this evil come upon us? That's the big question here in these verses. And you might call these sailors suspicious, superstitious. But clearly this was not random chance or bad luck. At least they didn't seem to think so. There's not always a direct link between evil and suffering. Sometimes there's no link at all. But they had a sneaking suspicion that something spiritual was going on here. Storms like this don't come from nowhere. Someone, they figured, someone must have sinned. Some God out there must have been offended or angered. And so I want us to draw your attention tonight to three responses of the sailors in these verses. Three responses. And the first one is investigation. And you can see that there in verse 7. They said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Now, we don't know exactly what the lot was. Perhaps it was like rolling a dice. Perhaps it was like drawing the shortest straw. We don't really know. But the point is that Jonah was found out. That's the point here, isn't it? Like Adam and Eve. You remember Adam and Eve in the garden, hiding. Like Achan. I don't know if you know the story of Achan in the Israelite camp. Taken the accursed thing, and he was found out. Or you might know the story of David and his sin when he was confronted by the prophet Nathan. Or moving into the New Testament, you might think of Ananias and Sapphira there in Acts 5 as Peter can see straight through them. Jonah here is found out too. The lot has fallen. And we know from Proverbs 16:33 that it's every decision is from the Lord. He determines not just the big things in the world, but the little things and how they fall. And the lot here has fallen on Jonah. There was nowhere to hide now. Nowhere to run. Nowhere to turn. The hound of heaven, it seems, has hunted him down. His sin has found him out. So this is the investigation that they go about. They cast the lot, and the lot falls on Jonah. And then hot on the heels of that, you can see there in verse 8, we move from investigation to interrogation, don't we? Now they're not casting lot, they're asking a lot of questions. Verse 8, they said to him, "Tell us, on whose account has this evil come upon us? What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And from of what people are you?" There's this barrage of questions that come, this flood of questions, thick and fast. Tell us your people. What group of people do you belong to? Tell us your place. What land do you come from, Jonah? And tell us why you're here. What's your purpose? Your mission? What are you about? And these are not get-to-know-you questions, are they? They're not sort of cool and calm and collected and we'll just sort of, you know, they're not interviewing Jonah. They're interrogating him, aren't they? He's on trial here. In the midst of this storm, there's an urgency, there's a panic. These men are fighting for their lives. The ship is about to go under. But behind all of their questions, what they're really trying to get to the bottom of is his God. Who is his God? You see, fundamental to who he was and to who we are is who we worship. At the core of our identity is our deity. What does our life revolve around? Who calls the shots? Tim Keller puts it this way. He says, their questions, "Who are you?" really what they're asking is, "Whose are you? To whom do you belong? Who's your God?" Jonah. And so, confronted by the Creator in the storm and by the falling of the lot, and now cross-examined by the captain and the crew, Jonah finally speaks. It's taken all this time for him to open his mouth in verse 9. And you can see what he says there. He said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." He leads with their last question. Did you notice that? Front and foremost to Jonah is his nationality, his ethnic identity, his race. "I'm a Hebrew." And then he goes on to add, "And I fear the Lord." Really? Does Jonah fear the Lord? Surely to fear the Lord is to obey his command, right? I mean, is he kidding himself? Is he self-deceived here? Are these just hollow words, empty platitudes? Of course I follow and worship Yahweh. I'm a Jew. It's like saying, of course I go for Carlton. I live in Melbourne. You know, like as if those two go together. But there's no reality here because he's running away from Yahweh, isn't he? He's on the run. He's fleeing the presence of the Lord. Is that what's going on here? Hollow words, empty platitudes? Or is he finally coming to himself? You see, the spotlight's on now, isn't it? The lot has fallen. The crew and the captain are around him. He's on trial. Is he finally coming to himself? Is his integrity starting to return? Is this Jonah repentant? Humbled? He doesn't answer the fact of the matter here in this text. What is emphasized is his guilt, his shame. I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord and that's who I am and I've done this. Perhaps he may not be overboard yet, but perhaps he's coming more on board with God. He's been stuck in the domestic turmoil for too long. And finally, he's ready to participate in God's global mission. Perhaps that's what's going on here. I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. He doesn't say, "I once feared the Lord." He says, "I fear the Lord." So from investigation to interrogation, and then finally, you notice it moves to exclamation, doesn't it? Casting the lot, asking a lot. Now fearing a lot. You can see that in verse 10, can't you? In their response to these sailors. Then these men were, what's the word there? Exceedingly afraid. Literally, they feared a great fear. And they said to him, "What is this you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. "Jonah, what have you done? You've uprooted your life. You've paid the fare. You've gone down to Joppa. You've gone down into the ship. You've gone down below the deck. You've gone down into your bed. Your life is going down. Away from the presence of the Lord. And you've run to the sea to escape the one who made the sea. And you've angered the God of heaven. And now he's hurled a storm. There's no escape. You've endangered our lives, Jonah. What have you done? How could you do this?" And you can see the result there in verse 10. That these hardened sailors were exceedingly afraid. They were afraid back in verse 5. It says it there, doesn't it? Then the mariners were afraid. In the midst of the great storm, as a ship threatened to break up, it's creaking and groaning and tossing about in the sea. And each sailor is crying out to his God in desperation, and they're hurling the cargo overboard. They were afraid. But now they're very afraid. They've encountered the storm, but now they're encountering the God behind the storm. Now they know the target of the storm, Jonah, there in a quivering mess before them. And every wave as it lashes the ship is saying, "Fear God, fear God, fear God." But this crew, with all their collection of gods, was useless. There's only one God to be reckoned with, and he's not a local deity. You see how Jonah describes him there. He's what? He's the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. So what about you? What have you done in your life? Are you running away from the presence of the Lord as hard as you can in the opposite direction, avoiding his gaze, escaping his presence? Seems to me he's a God you can't outrun. H.B. Charles put it this way. He said, in chapter 1, Jonah is running from the Lord. In chapter 2, he's running to the Lord. In chapter 3, he's running for the Lord. But in chapter 4, he runs into God. You can't outrun him. But boy, you can get very busy disobeying him, can't you? Going down to Joppa, buying a fare, getting on board, going below deck. Down, down, down. Ever downwards. Lower and lower. Away from the presence of the Lord. What are you doing in your life? Have you felt the storm? The waves lashing on your ship? Perhaps you're below deck, trying to block it all out. Don't want to think about that. Entertain myself to death. Distract myself to death. Get very busy. Running away from the Lord. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What's your country? Of what people are you? Whose are you? Who's your God? What is it that your life centers around? Are you avoiding God's go? Jonah had a go, didn't he? Arise and go. We've got a go too. Go and make disciples. You avoiding God's global mission? Avoiding the great city, people perishing under the weight of sin, whose evil has come up before the Lord and is angry? That's the world we live in, isn't it? Romans 1. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth about God. They know it. They know he's there. Creation is screaming day and night, heaven above, all around us. But we're run. Jonah's message was one of condemnation, wasn't it? Do you remember what he was to say when he got there? Arise, verse 2, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out, what's the word? Against. His message was actually very similar to Genesis 19, when God commissioned angels to go to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, whose wickedness had also come up before the Lord. Jonah was given the privilege that was previously given to angels. It's not much of a privilege, is it? Because he's going there to condemn it, to pronounce coming judgment. 40 days, and it'll be overthrown. Can empathize with Jonah running away. Who'd want to go and do that? Go to your enemies and tell them they're going to... But what do we have? What's our go? God didn't send his son into the world to condemn it, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We have good news. We have a message of hope, a message of life, a message of forgiveness and reconciliation with the angered God of heaven, so that we can be adopted and loved and blessed and forgiven. Jonah had the brevity, didn't he, of a military command. Arise and go. That's it. That's all he got. We are surrounded with great and precious promises. Surely I am with you, even to the very end of the age. Go to the Gentiles. They will listen. That's what the New Testament tells us. They will listen. So, it's not optional. God doesn't make you an offer that you can choose to refuse. Surely that's something we've got to take away, isn't it, from the book of Jonah? Steve Richardson said it this way. He said, God doesn't limit himself to volunteers. Jonah certainly wasn't putting his hand up, was he? He doesn't ask you, God doesn't ask you if you'd like to go, but rather whom the Lord calls, he will use. The captain, you remember the captain? To prayer, he said. Pray to your God, Jonah. But you say, I can't pray. Do you know I've been avoiding God all these years. But the lot will fall. And God will have his way through the storm. But what does it actually look like to be on board with God's global mission? I want to suggest to you tonight that it looks a little bit like a body with hands and eyes and a mouth and feet, beautiful feet. You see, we're all different, aren't we? You can do things that I can't do. We're all different. But God has brought us together under one head, Jesus Christ, And he has gifted each and every member to take the gospel to the nations together. Not alone, but together. I read the story during the week of a lady by the name of Eleanor Young. Apparently she was a very short lady, a small lady, and she had contracted polio as a child, and so she wore leg braces and had crutches. She lived in a small farming town, and to the embarrassment of everyone in her church, she responded when a guest speaker, a Chinese man, asked who would be willing from that church to become a missionary. People were sort of sneering and embarrassment as she went forward on her crutches to offer herself for mission. But in the end, she served 18 years among a fierce tribe in New Guinea, who apparently also were quite short. And since she couldn't walk well with her braces, the new believers in that community carried her from village to village, and among the 13,000-foot peaks. They called her Bad Legs, and they announced everywhere that she went, Bad Legs has brought a good message. So what about you? Are you being a Jonah? Running away? Hiding below deck? Can you see that God has a place for you? A part for you to play in his big global mission. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus Christ, and he's told us to go and make disciples of every nation, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them everything that he commanded. And he himself has promised to be with us even to the very end of the age. Will you go? Let's pray. Our Father God, you are the Lord, the maker of the sea and the dry land. Father, send us out in the power of your Spirit. In the name of Jesus, so that the nations might be glad. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.